You're listening to Binging the Devil's Fruit, a One Piece manga read-through podcast where the best fruits are the ones you savor and are best enjoyed taking your time consuming. Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Binging the Devil's Fruit. This is episode 43 of the podcast. I'm your host, John Mugiwara JM, joined as always by my co-host, Jad Peanut.
Hey!
Welcome back, and quite a bit has happened since our last episode. Usually, we don't like to spend too much time talking about what we've been up to, but most of the games I keep talking about how I'm working on the side, Persona 3 Reload, is as far as I'm concerned, is done. I platinumed it.
Yeah!
I did not platinum it on stream, though, because the last thing I needed to do was fill out enough of Elizabeth's requests where you can invite her to spend time in your room. I did not have time for that, and I didn't complete enough of her requests. So what I did was I loaded my save back a week to before the final battle or whatever, did some more of her easy quests, and all of a sudden, hey, I want to come see your room. Bam! Platinum! But I did kill the Reaper. it was a long, hard battle. I think it took longer than it did in 5 Royal for me. But and after that, my character's level shot up by 11.
Oh,
11 wow. Levels, and I had enough to fuse the ultimate persona, which was also a trophy. And I turned the final boss of Persona 3 Reload into wet tissue paper. A boss that I struggled with. You may remember this from when I talked about it last year, about like 20 episodes back. I struggled with the final boss in Persona 3 Portable because I rage quit a couple of times and tried over several hours. In Reload, it was one try in 10 minutes. And I kind of laughed and I was done because, in our playthrough, when we get there, I'm going to make sure you follow the same path so that you can have a similar victory of your own with this gentleman. But beyond that, I've also finished Final Fantasy IX, and we're going to start Final Fantasy X next week. So check out Mugiwara JM Plays if you don't get to watch them live. But if you want to see them live, check me out on twitch.tv/MugiwaraJM.
Well, let's see. I had a pretty relaxing Memorial Day. Hey, hang out with my sisters and brothers-in-law. Logan was excited and surprised to see us. Got barbecue, and I'm excited is that we booked the activities on the Disney cruise finally.
Yes, and that also reminds me, you and I have booked an activity of our own for later this year. I've already talked about it on my Final Fantasy IX finale. Sonic Symphony is coming to Philadelphia, and you, me, and Christine had to snag tickets like right away because they were starting to sell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm excited about that.
The only disappointment is I don't think we're sitting next to each other, but I think because we ordered the tickets at around the same time, we got seats that are near each other. So maybe if I'm putting it out there, and hopefully this will happen, maybe we have a kind soul. Say if it's like a party of three or so, it's like we can ask them, hey, do you want to swap seats so that we can sit together and you guys can sit together? Put it out in the ether. Hopefully it happens. If it doesn't, we'll at least, talk to each other between intermission or whatever. But this is just intermission for the continuation of the Alabasta arc. When we last left off, Sanji beat Mr. Two, Usopp and Chopper barely beat Mr. Four and Miss Merry Christmas. And now Nami and Zoro have matchups coming up. So why don't we see how they fare right now?
Definitely.
If you would like to read along with us while we binge the Devil's Fruit, Shonen Jump has their entire manga library available through their subscription service for just $2 a month. Or if you happen to have the physical volumes or omnibuses handy, that works too. No, we're not being paid to say this. I wish we were. And remember, when you hear this sound, that means it's time to turn the page. Anyway, thanks for coming along with us and enjoyed the read through. Chapter 191, She Who Controls the Weather.
Hachi's Walk on the Seafloor, Volume 9. A seafloor hunted by a sea monster. And we see Hachi hitting a lift from a seafloor, it seems. Being chased by a sea monster, and
yeah, it reminds me a lot of that scene from the Phantom Menace where they're being chased by a giant monster in the ocean, and then it's chasing them for a while, but then the even bigger one eats it. Why that made me think of the Phantom Menace, I'll never know. But it's your turn to start. And when we last left off, oh yeah, Nami's being attacked by Miss Doublefinger.
Double Stinger! And Miss Doublefinger stabs several times, but Nami manages to duck and dive. Eek! And she punches several holes in the wall and almost gets Nami. And oh, she's going again. But Nami manages to flee. Oh, she trips over something. What an obstinate girl you are.
All right. And Doublefinger extends her fingers, quite literally, in fact. Don't you realize it's useless to keep running away? You can't win and no one's going to rescue you. Now hold still, I'll make it quick and painless. Or do you insist on continuing a little magic show? Oh, I still have lots of tricks up my sleeve. One of these has to work, as she's reading the instructions again. And then she makes a three-forked device with it. I just have to keep trying till I find it. The forecast is thunder! Thunder tempo! And she fires it, and it's an extending boxing glove, like out of a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Oh my god.
And Doublefinger slaps it. Finger stinger! She swipes back as Nami screams. She gets her in the cheek. My cheek! I'm bleeding! Am I gonna die here like this? That long-nosed fool. I'll curse him from the grave. That long-nosed... It was supposed to be a weapon, huh? All right, time to die. Ah!
And Miss Doublefinger is sitting on the bottom of a bridge.
Standing.
Upside down. And what? She's upside down how? And oh, she's got several spikes ice sticking out from the bottom of her feet. That's how. And she jumps up, curls into a ball. Whoop. Spikes appear all around her body like a sea urchin. Hedgehog Stinger as she falls towards Nami, who runs out of the way. Ah, oh, that was close. And now it's all in torture. Hey, what? Stop!
I almost want to put in the sonic sound effects, but I don't want to get copyright stricken. Maybe for the video version on YouTube. And she is curling up like a Sanic. Right after Nami. I said, wait, just 1 minute. Can you give me just 1 minute? There's no cover around here. Maybe inside. And she kicks open a door. Give up. And then she cracks through the wall again. Yeah, for those of you that don't watch this, that listen to this, you're missing out on the video, because I'm going to put some sound effects in the YouTube version. It's over. I'm going to skewer you. I refuse to die, as she starts ripping her cloak and throws it at the Doublefinger in her sea urchin form. Such a horrible death! And she crashes. But as the dust settles, Doublefinger gets back up.
And Nami manages to run out the door. So she's not a total novice when it comes to fighting. And she's hiding in an alleyway as she's frantically looking through the instructions. What was it earlier? I thought I saw something in the menu about... And so, the aforementioned... Oh, no, wait, it's Usopp's. That's right. And so, the aforementioned tricks, when performed at a party or celebration, will liven up the event of and entertain everyone. That idiot! No, combat mode instructions can be found on the Whisper side! The Whisper side? As he hears, now where are you hiding? Here, kitty. I won't run or hide anymore, as Miss Doublefinger starts smoking. I've been a thief for 8 years. In any life or death situation, as she discards some of her robe of jewels, even, I've always survived by my own wits.
Spinning the new climate baton. Don't mistake me for a helpless little girl. I see. Forgive me. What happened? Why are you so suddenly so confident? Rule one of baton basics for combat. Know the special qualities of each of the three batons. I'm through playing around! And then Nami pulls one of the pieces of the baton out and blows into it, creating a bubble. Shaking or blowing into the batons will release air bubbles. The first baton creates hot air. Heat ball! And she blows it onto Miss Doublefinger, and then she feels it. Huh. It feels a bit warm. The second baton creates cold air. Cool ball! Ah, nice and cool. And the third baton creates electricity. Thunderball! Ouch, I feel a little shock.
The batons are not perfected yet, but you can use them at parties. Who cares about parties? As Nami's pissed. Are you done now? As Miss Doublefinger grows two tall spikes on each foot, and just shink, shink makes her way towards Nami. So in Stinger, please let me find something I can use. And, oh, she's got Nami around the ankle. I'm sorry, but now, oh, I have to end this. Stinger, stop! But Nami swing, cyclone, tempo!
As one of the batons flies off and hits her, but I think Doublefinger blocks. She blocks, it stops, but then, boom, a gust of wind pushes her back. Winds! And then the baton retracts back and then lands on the baton. Huh, how about that? That's it. The heat ball and the cool ball. When they stop spinning, the hot and cold air bubbles collide and form a bigger bubble. That releases explosive winds. That's amazing, Usopp. The cyclone temple is like a boomerang can be played outside with everyone after the party. Even the creator doesn't realize it. And then Doublefinger recovers. Blast that weird weapon. Maybe, but finally, the tornado tempo packs a knockout punch. Once struck by it, no human enemy will be able to get up again. However, it is absolutely a weapon of last resort. You only have one shot. If you miss, it's all over.
What are you looking at? What? Never look away until the fight is over. Mortal Kombat is nothing to take lightly, dear. Ah, holy shit! All five of her digits to stab right through Nami. And oh... Fooled you! It was an illusion. Ow! I used a cool ball to change the destiny of the atmosphere. Drastic differences in temperature can cause light to reflect in unusual rays. I think this weapon suits me perfectly. A mirage? At such a short distance? I finally understand the climate, baton. Now surrender. And oh, SBS Corner.
Featuring Laboon and Crocus, and Laboon's like, hey, why'd you write that on me?
Okay, I'll be the reader. Oda Sensei, I read volume 19 and was shocked. In the first panel on page 104, Sean is almost amongst the crowd that is running away. What's he doing in Alabaster, and why is he drunk again? Please tell me. Takashima 192.
Yes, that surprised me too. I completely forgot I'd drawn that. But he is there, that's for sure. So how did he get there? Just hear me out. That was Sam's second daughter's wedding day. When his older daughter was 8 years old, Sam's wife left him and Sam had to raise his daughters by himself. The second daughter grew up to be a delinquent and caused him a lot of headaches. She got into fights and even ran away from home. Now that daughter was getting married. He used to tell his daughter, I can't wait to leave home, but he actually felt sad. And happy too. Sam said, how could I not drink tonight? And he drank and drank and wandered until he found himself in Alabasta. The people around him were in an uproar, so Sam joined in. Although Sam's reason and that of the crowds differed slightly.
Sensei, I was watching TV the other day and somebody said that buggy pants are going to be the new rage. Will you buy some buggy pants?
I won't buy them.
Straight into the point. I might as well go straight into the point too.
Ha, funny, because Doublefinger will... is pointy. Chapter 192, Tornado Warning.
Hachi's walking on the seafloor, volume 10. Hachi saves the seaboard, and yeah, Hachi stabs the trident into the side of the seaboard.
No, he stabs it into the side of the giant lamprey's tongue. Yeah, the seaboard is looking in horror on the bottom left.
Okay, I believe it's your turn.
Okay, so, and now we return to, I think this is where Usopp and Chopper were fighting Miss Merry Christmas and Mr. Four. And, oh yeah, he reunited with Sanji since all their fights are finished. At the Alabarna Southgate. Oh, hey, look there. Oh, thanks, you got my goggles back. Sanji, you're the best. Ah, they're broken, why you? These are the latest goggles from the North Blue. Do you have any idea what they're worth? Ah, those are probably reinforcements. More of them? Looks like it. Hey, where have you been hiding, eyelashes? Oh yeah, where the fuck was that camel that whole fight? Yeah, let's go to the palace. Vivi, we need our help. Okay, come on, Usopp, let's go. What? Hey, wait for me. Can't you see I'm injured? And then we are back with the Royal Guard outside Alabarna. If Sir Crocodile is here in Alabarna, then the rumors about him trying to take over Alabasta must be true. Open the gates! Princess Phoebe's in danger! Decius Fleur, as a familiar face cries out in French. Or I think it's a... I think it's either French or Spanish, whatever one. And hands start coming out of the walls, trying to grab at the soldiers.
Heads from the gate? What is this? As they just flung the soldiers down the stairs. Ah! There seems to be quite a commotion outside the gate. And Biffy grits her teeth. Papa, your majesty, and oh yeah, the king is nailed to... Ooh, a wall.
They crucified him.
Crucified. Fifi. Forgive me. You risked your life to save the kingdom. But I ruined it. Free the king, Crocodile! But Papa.
The king is correct. However, Miss Wednesday, you were only able to make it back here because those Straw Hat pirates helped you. Be grateful to them.
How did you get here? Where's Luffy?
I told you, he's dead.
That's a lie! There's no way you could have defeated him!
That fool aside, let me make one thing clear. I have no intention of sparing you or your father. When a kingdom perishes, its royal family perishes with it. That is the natural course of things. However, Cobra, there's something I need to know before I take your throne, since this is what I was after all along. Where is the Pluton?
Which a question that that perplexes Vivi does not perplex Robin, but Chaka notices it and horrifies Cobra.
You scoundrel! Where did you hear of that?
And Nami, he is up against the wall, as Miss Stubblefinger spikes Ike's Galatrap. That's an interesting weapon you have, but unless it helps you when you're fighting, it's no better than a toy.
Oh my god, did you notice where some of her spikes are coming from?
Oh my god, a titty spikes. Like Madonna.
Except lethal.
Whatever its original purpose. Oh my god. Oh god. And now a mouse turned into a spike as well. Like, oh god, it reminds me of those anteater lips you see in some really bad hentai. Anything that can be used to kill people is a weapon. And as he tries to stab Nami in the face, Nami manages to duck and get it out and starts running. Even a face. If I don't do something quick, I'm dead. Oh! As he grabs as Miss Doublefinger grabs the baton.
And I know one of the electric balls is coming out of the baton. But you'll never kill me with this toy, as she pokes it. A wool sweater generates more electricity than this does. There's only one way to find out. Give it back, as she swings at her, and then it comes back to her. I have to think of something. There's that last trick that, according to Usopp, can only be used once. If I can find the right opportunity, it just might work. With the three types of air bubbles, I need something that will make use of this country's parched climate. If only the air had a little more moisture. Moisture! That's it! There was a trick for making rain! Rain tempo! A water show? Sprinkler! Oh, you really are desperate. That's not it! I do have a plan! That's enough. This show is getting old. And then she turns her hair into spikes. Time to draw the curtains.
Sea urchin! Sea urchin stinger! But Nami does shoot. Her child begins shooting out bubbles from her batons. Cool ball! I'll poke enough holes in you to become a beehive. As Nami, he does a dodge out of the way, causing Miss Doublefinger to crash into a wall. And no, it forms a perfect circle. That would have been a lot worse than a beehive.
I love that band.
Wall scorched. To repay you for your performance earlier, I'll show you something interesting. Now, as he forms spikes on her fingers, now's my chance. Heat ball! And oh, she stabs her own shoulder.
Turn the page. When moist air, hot air rises and is rapidly cooled, descending to cold air, the moisture, and it condenses, and then, spike puncture! I guess she did something to her muscles, because now she's buff as hell. And she rips her her sleeves. I warned you about looking away. Oh, and oh, Jesus, she injected more spikes into her arms. Stinger rampage, and she knocks over a pillar with her spiked forearms. What? Yeah, she basically, she tears down a whole awning. And Navi falls down.
I must say, your dodging ability is truly exceptional. Oh, my leg, it's hurt bad.
Yeah, yeah, she's injured now.
Oh, what about the air bubbles?
And I made it, but it's not a big a cloud. Right above Miss Doublefinger, who doesn't seem to notice. What was that? I'm not finished yet. I have to make it better. Bigger. Cool ball. Heat ball. I've had enough. As he runs towards Nami. And yeah, the clouds start to get a bit darker. Stinger rampage. Nami manages to try to block with her baton, but her arms scrape pretty bad. Well, you ready to die? Are you? Still defiant. As Nami strikes one more ball at the bubble at the cloud and it starts to get bigger and... Oh, I think I know what's going on.
Thunderbolt Tempo and it shocks her. The bowl of lightning appears from the thundercloud and electrocutes Miss Doublefinger. And, yep. I'm half expected to go, did you order original recipe or extra crispy? And... She just puffs out smoke like a Looney Tunes character does after being burnt or shocked. I'll get you for that. She's not out yet. And then she turns her hand into a sea urchin and seemingly punches Nami with the spikes. No! And now for today's weather. Humidity or wind are both moderate with high atmospheric pressure. It should be a fine sunny day. However, in one area in particular, again... There is a possibility of mirages and strong winds. Watch out for tornadoes. And that's the end of the chapter.
Oh, and some from another SBS corner. I'll be out of the time. Time for an unusual stroll. Miss Happy Birthday has sent us this maze game. I tried it and it seems like the goal can be reached by various paths. So, there's more than one solution. Have fun with those that you run into. Let's go for a walk. Okay, reach the goal by passing every character and boy-girl earlier without passing any character choice. Mr. C can be counted as either gender because he's iffy. And yeah, it's a little maze activity with a list of several characters.
I already found the answer. But we don't have to go into that one too much. You know what we can go into very much, though?
Oh?
I didn't like that segue. We're going to read Chapter 193, Utopia.
Hachi's walking the seafloor, flying 11, in the mouth of the sea boar.
You know, when I first saw this, I thought like Hachi was hiding in the sea boar's mouth for some reason, but I think the sea boar may be choking.
Oh, no.
Or struggling to hold something in because there's the puff of air and he's like, well, I guess we'll find out next time. In the meantime, though, when we last left off, it's the continuation of Nami versus Miss Doublefinger. And you're picking it up.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it's my turn. And then flashback to Usopp explaining the weapon. Tornado Tempo packs a knockout punch. However, it is absolutely a weapon of last resort. You only have one shot. If you miss, it's all over. Beware of tornadoes. Are you all right? I miss Stubblefinger ass as Nami is shocked. Your left foot looks pretty bad. And yeah, it's got quite a amount of blood dripping down. I bet you won't be able to stand much longer. She can still move? Sea urchin stinger as he moves again. And then, oh, Nami, it looks like she's got left foot stuck in there. Oh, no. Ah!
And then Nami on her back foot stands firm. The sea urchins are puncturing her left foot. It doesn't hurt a bit. She says as it bleeds. Do you know how I have any idea how the pain of Vivi has suffered? Compared to that, a foot or two or three is nothing. Take that! As she pushes a button and then Tornado Tempo! And out springs little wind up birds from each end. Beep, 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 beep. And then Nami's in despair and Stubblefinger is like, oh, really up to the end. She screwed up again.
But then...
Wait, what? Beep, 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 beep. Huh? As the baton begins to trill. What the? Tangling. Those picking pitches are tangling. And with one on big bam, it does shoot away. Ah!
And it's on a big spread page where she just shot out like a cannon.
Yeah.
She crashes and Nami gets blown back by the recoil into a bunch of barrels. And she bumps her head and gets back up and notices a Looney Tunes shaped hole shaped like Miss Doublefinger in the wall. And then it cuts out to the other side of the other street where there's another hole shaped like her in a different position. And she is out cold. And then so are the wind up birds. Alubarna, North Block, Medi Assembly Hall. Battle of the Backstreets. Winner, Nami. Yeah!
Yeah! Nami's first win. Pluton. Back with Mr. Crocodile at the palace. Pluton. One shot of it can vaporize an entire island to smithereens. Named for the god of death. It was the most terrible weapon of the ancient world. And it's sleeping somewhere in this kingdom. That has been my goal from the very start. With that in my possession, I can force the most powerful military nation in the region. A super weapon. In this kingdom, a secret passed down with the crown. When I became king, it was a simple matter to recruit pirates to serve under me. I will increase my political power until it surpasses that of the world government. Mine will be a kingdom of legend. The world government will never allow it. Probably not, which is precisely why I need the Pluton.
I don't know where you heard of this Pluton, but I don't know its whereabouts, or whether such a thing even exists in this kingdom.
Yes, I feared as much. I realize that the very existence of such a thing is questionable. By the way, you know the palace square where the royal army is gathered? At 4:30, or 30 minutes from now, a powerful cannon will fire a projectile into it.
What about those hands? It's the people still talking about the hands to push them out.
Are you mad? It is a special cannonball that will blast a crater 3 miles in diameter. It will instantly alter the view from this palace.
30 minutes from now? But if you do that?
Aren't you pleased? You've tried so hard to put an end to the rebellion. By my calculations, in 20 minutes, the rebel forces will reach the square and the fighting will begin. Destroying the palace was such an indirect method. It's much faster to just blow the rebels up.
How could you do such a thing, Princess Phoebe? What did they ever do to you?
They're inconsequential.
Now then, King Cobra, I have another question for you. Where is a Poneglyph recorded?
Poneglyph.
Poneglyph? Poneglyph?
Yep, it's pronounced Poneglyph.
Well, why would you need that record of history? If I tell you where it is, Uh-oh, the king's ready. Papa, no, I'll take you there. King Cobra, the famous ruler. You're a wise man. Princess Phoebe. Oh, as Chakador's displayed, I can't stand this anymore.
And, there's another fight amongst the Straw Hats that we haven't finished up with. Zoro versus Mr. One. North Block Medi Assembly Hall on the main streets. As Zoro and Mr. One trade sword swings. And Mr. One tries to do a kick swipe, but Zoro expertly dodges.
Three sword style.
And he puts his two of his swords up like bull horns.
Bull Iron Guard.
Needles! As he swipes at him, but Mr. One takes it, I want to say takes it on the chin, but that wouldn't be accurate. He takes it everywhere.
Phew. So your body is held a sword metal. If I wanted to cut you, I had to be able to cut steel. Oh, that's right. Slashing and hacking has no effect on me. That's too bad. I can't cut steel yet, so I can't defeat you. So, what would it do? Oh, I feel sorry for you. I've been waiting to be driven into a corner like this, so I could take it up a notch in strength. When I defeat you, that means I'll be able to cut through steel.
Oh, what a line to end on, as that's the end of chapter 193.
And we're going to cut it over to...
Ah, nice. Chapter 194, Cutting Steel.
And we see Luffy surfing. Is that really a wise thing for him to do?
No, not even a little bit. I mean, if he could, and, if he could do it without falling off, it's fine. But he...
Oh, and I can see Usopp and Chopper sharing the same surfboard.
Yeah, I think that's Zoro on Luffy's favorite seat, which is the front of the ship. I can't see the rest of them, but I think there might be somebody in the crow's nest. But then again, this is in black and white, so I can't really make out a whole lot. So all right, so it technically is like one page. So now I'll see how I feel. I think I'll do like the first three, but we'll see. All right. And Mr. One puts his fist together and says, "I hate to disappoint you, but ever since I gained my dice power, no swordsman has ever made a scratch on me. No swordsman can defeat me." "Yeah, I understand, but you should put your stories from the past in a photo album. I have no idea how many swordsmen you fought over the years." Yeah, I'll take these next two, because there's not much. "But you've never met someone like me before." "Hmm, you talk a good fight." "Thanks, Baldy." And then Mr. One tries to kick at him with a sword leg, but Zoro blocks with two of the swords. "How long can you last?" "Right back at you." As he twirl dodges away and turns his fingers into blades. Razor claws.
And Zoro manages to deflect. And this is going to be a tough one, I can tell.
I don't think there's only one word in this whole set of it's just Zoro and Mr. One going at it, trading blows basically. But Mr. One has a bit of an advantage because every part of him is a sword. And then, there's one part you can read at the end on the last page.
Yeah, so prepare assistance only.
Yeah, you can have it. I took three. You can get two more.
Gary, as he. I've passed as Mr. Oh fuck, what was his name?
One.
Mr. One. Did that do anything?
He's falling down, but then he switches stances.
Tiger. And as he stripes down at Mr. One again. Trap.
And then he knocks him in.
Pants heavily.
He knocks him in, and then the dust settles. Zoro gets back up. Wants to see if he survived it, and not a scratch on him. "I told you, not even a scratch. That's a bit depressing. And you got up after I flattened you. That's a first for me." "Of course, you've never met someone like me before."
Yeah, as he kicks his blade foot towards Zoro, who dances. "That's right," and he deflects with his sword once again. This guy's a human blade. Every part of his body is cutting edge.
Huh.
And he barely dodges another blade, a kick to the face. But he tumbles.
Jay-Z blades! As Mr. One tries to grab at his swords, but Zoro blocks. But he opens his palms, and then the impact of those swipes basically turns the two buildings behind them into a pizza. This guy, off with you. But then there's another aftershock where the impact sends Zoro into that pizza that was made of those buildings. And it tumbles onto him.
"I push myself harder than anyone. I've been to the brink of death 1,000 times. So what am I lacking? Oh, Zoro's buried beneath the rubble and you can see blood dripping from his arm that's sticking out. And on flashback time, Sensei, eh? I heard there are men in this world who can cut through anything, even steel. Is that true?" "Yes, that's true." "Watch this sheet of paper very carefully, Zoro. And zah!" And as he whacks, "it's still in one piece." "Listen, Zoro, there are swordsmen in the world who are able to not cut anything. Eh? These same swordsmen also had the ability to cut through steel, and with the same instrument. The pinnacle of swordsmanship is the power to protect what one wishes to protect, and cut what one wishes to cut. A blade that injures all that it touches isn't really a sword. Do you understand? Sensei, I'm gonna become a swordsman who can cut through anything. So, do you hear what I said?
And Mr. One notices that Zoro is survived that. Go ahead, try to wound me. You'll never cut me if you're the one always taking the beating.
Unfortunately, you're not gonna get to see me cut steel. Always, Zoro lifts that whole house over his shoulders.
Holy crap!
Because when I do, that'll be the end of you.
Oh yeah,
and then he hucks it at him. I'll dice everything in sight. A sword that doesn't cut anything, huh? And that's the end of that chapter.
And it's another SBS corner. Okay. Hey,
is this one all? Like- this was all just Oda. Shoot. All right, so I guess I'll just read it. Allow me to address a question that comes up a lot. It's about just how involved I am in the One Piece anime. But first, I'd like you to be aware of certain facts. First and foremost, I'm a manga artist. I don't create anime, and that's that. But I do help out with character design for the original anime stories and movies based on my manga. I don't really do much, so I have to entrust the role of characters of One Piece, which I created the manga, to other people. That has changed since the 10th movie. This is one name I'd like you to remember, the one and only Konosuke Uda. This name always appears in the opening credits of the anime. He is the series director for One Piece anime. Was. He hasn't been in a very long time. In other words, he's in charge of everything. That's so cool. Series director. Ta-da! The One Piece anime has seven different directors, including Mr. Uda, and they take turns directing the episodes. That's because a 30-minute episode is impossible to make in just 1 week, unless you're South Park. A particular week's director is listed at the end credits under episode director. And the one who oversees all the other directors is Konosuke Uda. Wahoo. Did you know that in the last 5 or 6 years, there have been non-Japanese directors of One Piece episodes?
Oh, yeah. I saw a few English names in some of the...
Yes, there are artists from outside of Japan who work on One Piece. That probably wasn't the case back then, but now there certainly is. Okay, so, and if he and I don't see eye to eye, then Luffy would immediately become un-Luffy-like, and the world of One Piece would be completely different. No matter how poignant the original story is, if the director of the anime messes up, it's ruined. But that never happens. In fact, amazingly, Mr. Uda and his word directors totally understand One Piece. Direction naturally includes the music, sound effects, voice acting, art design, the whole package, so I'm very grateful to everyone involved with the anime. By the way, my editor Habu checks the script. What I really wanted to do was call attention to the names in the end credits. I really hope you take note of them because of all the those people work incredibly hard. That may come off across a bit stiff, but Mr. Uda has a great, good sense of humor. Often after a meeting with him and the producer, who's also a funny guy, we go out to eat. But basically for the One Piece anime, I leave everything up to Mr. Uda and I enjoy watching as much as anyone. Sometimes I even cry. So that's it for the question corner. See you in the next volume.
We'll be seeing you in...
Yeah, because it's still because it's part of a two-pager, so it's still in the for you guys, it's in a few seconds, and that in a few seconds we're gonna start reading chapter 195, Mr. Bushido.
Chachi's walk on the seafloor from 12, Kami the Mermaid and Starfish Papagoo.
Yeah. This is how early those characters get introduced. So not going to talk too much about them, but these characters are important. And I forgot that in the main story, at least in the manga, you see them way earlier than you do normally. So remember these two faces. I'm sure you'll remember
they pop right out of the Sheba's mouth.
I'm sure you'll remember the starfish pretty easily. He's like a Rastafarian Patrick Star. Well, he looks like one, but in terms of character, not really. But
God, that reminds me. Someone was doing this guy of Jamaican descent just doing a Jamaican Looney Tunes, and it was just assuming a bunch of Jamaican slang and accents for the characters.
I'm afraid to ask if the creator was white, or if he was
he's Jamaican.
Okay, good, because if it was a white guy doing it, then I'm going to cringe to a neutron star. Mm-hmm. All right, so it's the final chapter. So of the episode, so you're reading,
and he just manages to toss it his way, fool. A sword that cuts nothing. It cuts nothing, but it cuts steel. I don't know what it all means, but you pussing, keep pussing. That's the true way of the sword, Atomic Dicer. As Mr. One spreads its arms out, prevent a slash until I defeat you. And the house begins to crumble apart with a clear hold of sorrow.
And then they start clanging their blades together again. Don't take that out of context. And then Zoro tries one more three-sword swing at Mr. One, and it doesn't hurt him, but it does send him back a bit. And they keep going at it. And then Zoro does one more three-sword swipe at him, knocking him down, seemingly.
And he manages to get pushed back. Zoro's sword is dangerously close to his face. Grab! And yeah, it looks like he uses both of his swords to grab at Mr. One like a pincer. Just toss us him back. You're an irritating man. So are you. Don't mistake me for a swordsman. I have lots of other weapons to dismantle you. Buzzsaw! Oh! He does like a spiral blade around his arm that starts spinning like saws.
If you're not a swordsman, then maybe you're an excavator. I'm an assassin. Oh, he did it to both of his arms, and then he brings up against Zoro, and I'm sure the sparks are flying around him. Sparks! How fast are those blades spinning? Well, he's going to tear me to shreds. And Zoro knocks them back again. Excavation work is impossible for me. I make too much of a mess. Blast! And then, oh, Mr. One swipes at him in the chest.
And so it's all right out as blood spits over. An instant miscalculation brings death as so is on his knees and his swords are flying up in the air.
And throws him in the pillar.
And throws him right into a pillar. And oh, so he's lying face down on the ground.
Don't forget that Mr. One is licking his hand, covered in blood.
Oh, ugh.
You're still alive. Don't turn your back on him. You're unarmed. Why keep struggling? Tower Crusher! And he sends out more blades to cut into Zoro in the pillar behind him. Yep, and then the pillar starts to come down. I'm having bad luck with stone today. And it starts to crack, and
first run on Zoro. Oh, as Mr. One walks away.
Cracking his neck.
As he continues to run. I wonder if the others are okay. And Mr. One starts and turns around to see Zoro still standing proud.
How can you possibly stand up? I cut your ribbons. And how did you dodge all that falling rubble? Dodge? No, that's not it. I knew where the stones wouldn't fall. My sword, as his heart starts beating, is under that rock. What? I've had this feeling before. Everything around me was eerily silent. My heartbeat was like a distant thunder. It was like standing at the gates of Hades. The falling rocks, I could feel something. Something alive in them. Not just a presence. Something like more distinct, like breathing. The rocks, breathing. Trees with heartbeats of their own. The earth itself breathing. Is this it? And remembering his sensei, listen, Zoro. There are swordsmen in this world who are able to not cut anything. To not cut anything. Is that like hearing the breathing? Is this the power to cut steel?
What's your trick, swordsman? You took too many hits. You've lost too much blood. Don't you know you're dead? So stares at him. I can hear it. The breathing of his steel. All right, fine. My next blow will put you down for good. My sword understands my will. As he swipes, I send, and it's like symbolic, like the breathing of the trees as he cuts through a stone. All that's left for me is for me to find out whether I possess the power to cut through steel. As he points his blade at him. You think you can defend yourself against me with just one sword? It's alright. I don't need to defend myself anymore. Prepare to die, eh? Suit yourself. One sword strike. Lion strike. Atomic Dicer. As Mr. One and goes towards him.
Spread. Zoro cuts through him successfully. Mr. One bleeds and falls down. My thanks. Now I'm stronger. He puts it away. To be continued at One Piece Volume 22.
Holy shit.
And that is where the episode ends.
Whoa.
So I'm guessing that was your favorite cliffhanger to end on.
Hell yeah, definitely.
So I gotta get your take on how the Alabaster arc's going so far. With the
amazing
two Straw Hat victories.
And we got to see Nami in action for the first time.
Yep.
That was a treat.
Even though she had to deal with Usopp's bullshit party tricks. Actually, we witnessed two victories in this episode, but grand total, Straw Hat's 4 broke work 0. Let's see if that continues. I think there's one more person that needs to get their licks in. But you're not going to be able to see that until next time on the Binging the Devil's Fruit.
Aww.
Thank you guys again so much for listening, and be sure to come back next time on episode 44, where we cover chapters 196. Austin, we're hitting another milestone. Episode 44 will be chapter 196 to 200.
Oh,
it's getting juicy. If it wasn't juicy already, it's getting even juicier. So thank you guys again so much. Once more, I've been John Mugiwara, JM.
I'm Chad Peanut.
And remember, when binging the devil's fruit, you know what? Don't eat the fruit. You can juice it in a blender this time. Make a nice little smoothie. It's hot out. Do it. All right, goodbye, everyone.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for binging the devil's fruit with us today. If you'd like to enhance your binging experience even further, for just $3 a month, not only do you get access to episodes 1 week before they go live for the public, you also get exclusive access to our commentary tracks for our One Piece anime movie special reviews on our Patreon. The review episodes themselves will always be free to all listeners, but if you want the commentary tracks, that's patreon.com/superbonusround. Thanks for your support.